When you can walk down the middle of Pennsylvania Avenue without seeing a car, for some it comes as a sense of relief, but for many it's hard to be here on this particular night in a lonely city, oftentimes far from home. For some it feels downright unlucky, and I know that's a funny word to say in church. We don't usually talk about bad luck in church, especially among so many people that went to Reformed Seminary or come from a Presbyterian background. I know it's downright sinful to talk about luck, but I wonder if it isn't just how we oftentimes feel when we're down. We feel like we've hit a stroke of bad luck. 2019 has been a good year for some and a really hard year for a lot of others, particularly in our church. And I wonder if during these last cold, dark days of 2019, if you're not just feeling like a little bit of bad luck has come and hit you. Maybe, I know a couple of you had to go to the DMV today. I know I've heard two stories already, the bad luck of just that. I know my wife isn't here. She was planning to be here, but she's with a family in the church whose baby is sick. That's bad luck, isn't it? And maybe you're in town for reasons unexpected, a canceled flight or some hassle at school or some other reason. Maybe you're short on funds and didn't expect to be short on funds and now you can't travel. Maybe the bad luck of illness or family circumstances. I think there are five families that are waiting on babies to be born any minute right now in our church, which is kind of good luck, but also bad luck to be stuck here. And then there are all who are alone and wishing that they were with someone special, but not able to be with that person or with someone. A lot of times when we're down, we feel like bad luck has hit. And particularly on Christmas Eve, if things aren't going just right, you can feel like you've hit a run of bad luck. And if that's the way you feel, you're not alone. Certainly feels that way for the characters in the story that we read from Luke chapter 2. A familiar story, and a story that I imagine Mary and Joseph were feeling like they had hit a really bad run of bad luck by the time that they got to Bethlehem and there was no room in the inn. But in spite of so many misfortunes, there's a thread of hope that runs through the Gospel of Luke. I want to show you that as we read this story together. Before we study it together, just for a few minutes, I want to pray with you, though, first. Let's do so together. Lord, we are thankful to be here tonight in your presence, where everything bad can turn to good, where all of our crushed hopes can be restored. And we are so thankful for your word that you speak to us through it. So open our hearts and minds to hear from you tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. And I want to look at Luke chapter 2. If you lost your place there, please turn back to it. And let's look at it together, starting in verse 1. And let's just think about the luck of Mary and Joseph, and then the luck of the shepherds, and then the luck of Jesus, and on to us as we work through this passage. Let's look at the luck of Mary and Joseph first in the first seven verses. It was bad enough that Mary was an unwed mother. That's pretty bad luck if you think about it. And then to have to be displaced at the end of her pregnancy, to have to make such a long journey and go down to Nazareth. Caesar Augustus issued this decree in verse 1. For a global census. And so then in verse 3, all went to be registered, each to his own town. And among them was Joseph, her fiancé. Look at verse 4. He left Nazareth. We presume that he was employed there. And he made the long journey south to Judea, over the hills and through the valleys, down to the city of David, to Bethlehem. And with him, verse 5, came Mary, his fiancé, his unlucky fiancé, who was in her third trimester, and the doctors had said no camels, no donkeys, no long journeys, no climbing of mountains or anything like that. It was her bad luck that the census had come up right at this time, and she had to go and give birth in a place she'd probably never been before. and be there right when the baby was due. The bad luck continued after they got to Bethlehem, didn't it? They got there, but so many of David's lineage had come back to Bethlehem that there was no room for them in the house. And so, verse 7, not even a woman who was 9 months pregnant had a place inside. So they very likely found shelter underneath the house in a cave. That's what most people expect happened. That's the way houses were built in the time. And in the cave where the sheep would be gathered at night so that they could be protected. And they were probably down there with many other distant relatives who had come back for the census at that time. And after Jesus was born there, she wrapped him up with this cloth. And then she put him on the shelf. Don't think of a manger in a cave as a wooden kind of picnic bench or something, but think of a place that was carved out of the side of the wall where they could put the food for the animals so that they could eat from it. So Jesus was put on this cold, hard stone shelf, very likely. What awful luck indeed. And yet there's a sense in this story that God must be at work somehow behind the scenes, isn't there? For the rightful heir to the throne of David to be born in Nazareth would have been a big mistake, if you think about it. His parents should not have been exiled from that city, but it had happened. And even though they may have never been to Bethlehem before, it was right, if Jesus was to be the king, it was right for him to be born in that place. It was right for them to journey to the city of David, enduring hardship, and verse 4, for him to go back to the house of David. And what's especially surprising and wonderful about this is how Caesar made it happen, if you think about it. The wicked emperor far away, 2,500 miles away, a total pagan who had declared himself to be a god and it demanded everybody worship him. And Caesar says, I want it to happen this way. And Mary had to make that journey with Joseph. And the Son of God, Son of David, the Messiah, the rightful king over Israel and all the world, was born right where he was supposed to be. Right in Bethlehem, in the city of David. It may have felt like bad luck to Mary and Joseph, but God was at work. And even though Caesar issued the decree, God clearly had arranged for it to be so, in order that every detail of his redemption of the world might go just according to plan. Think about the bad luck of the shepherds also. Starting in verse 8, there isn't time to describe just what a rotten lot it was to be a shepherd. All you need to know, though, is that they were just the lowest possible job. If you could do anything else, you would. It was a terrible work. It was hard work. And especially hard to be the shepherds on the night shift. Most people, with any sense, would bring their sheep in and put them in a protected area overnight. These shepherds, for whatever reasons, are stuck outside of Bethlehem working the night shift on Christmas Eve. And then this funny thing happened to them out in the middle of nowhere. An angel, verse 9, appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, fear not, for I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." And not every shepherd around the world saw angels that evening. Not every shepherd around the world heard this good news. It was these shepherds who happened to be at the right place at the right time outside the city of David where David, the shepherd king, had been born. And suddenly, verse 13, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. And many of us have seen paintings of this scene. You see the angels arrayed up in the heavens. I don't think that's right. I don't think that's what Luke is telling us, because this expression, the heavenly host, is a way of describing God's army. And the army had come with the delivery of the baby to pay homage to the king, the commander in chief. The army had been there, and the army was now making its exit, coming over the hills, through the valleys outside of Bethlehem. There was a forerunner who came to the shepherds first and said, let me tell you what's happening. And then along comes all the rest of them, and he falls into the ranks as they're marching away. The whole army coming away, announcing glory to God in the highest for what he's done. The shepherds then had this choice to make, didn't they? Perhaps their lot wasn't so unlucky after all. Maybe God did care about them. After all, David had been a shepherd. It had been an honorable profession. And now, look, they got this message from the heavenly host. And God seems to have put them in the right place at the right time, as absurd as that sounds. In the middle of the night, outside of all places, Bethlehem, far, far away from the city of Rome and the seat of power. The angel told them all they had to do was go into town and look down in the cave, wrapped in the cloth, up on the shelf, and they would find the new shepherd king. That's all they had to do. But Bethlehem was crowded, a lot of strangers there, strangers who made fun of shepherds probably, maybe hard to find a baby in the midst of all of that. Who knows how many babies were there? Lots of babies, just like here. Maybe the whole thing was just a bad trip after eating too many mushrooms in the field. Or sheep cheese. Maybe they shouldn't risk it. It could be bad luck after all. Take a look at what they said to one another, verse 15. They said, let's go have a look at this thing that the Lord has made known to us. That's a sign that they believed that the Lord was in it. The angels had said it. It was a leap of faith to believe that God had been working behind the scenes to arrange things as he did, and that the words of the messenger were in fact the words of the Lord. So taking this leap of faith, they went, verse 16, and sure enough, they found it just as the angel had said. They found Mary and Joseph, and they found the baby Jesus wrapped up, lying on the shelf, just as the angel had said. How about that? How about that? God kept his promises. The words had been true. And after they saw Jesus, they became the first human evangelists. Verse 17, they went out from there telling everyone what they had heard, sharing the good news that they had heard from the angel and the heavenly host. And they returned, verse 20, glorifying and praising the Lord for all they had heard and seen, because every detail was just right. The word of the Lord had come to pass just as he had promised. But what about the luck of Jesus? That's the hard one, isn't it? The rightful heir to the throne of David, but who ends up buried at birth, down in a cave, wrapped up in a shroud, laid on a shelf. The Magi come bringing gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but as soon as they leave, Herod is on his trail, another king trying to kill him, and that begins the journey of his entire life, down to Egypt of all places to escape, back up to Nazareth for a while. But Jesus says at one point, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Only at the end does he have a place to lay his head, after he's crucified for us, And he's put down in the cave, wrapped up in the shroud, and laid on a shelf. Very bad luck indeed. If anyone ever had a run of bad luck, it was Jesus. He had every right to the good life as the righteous Son of God. And instead, what the scriptures tell us is he chose this. He chose to endure this incredible run of bad luck for us so that we might be saved. So that we might be saved from sadness, sin, and death. And throughout the entire Gospel of Luke, this is the story from start to finish. There is a sense that nothing is at random. Nothing happens by accident. What seems to be bad luck in the displacement of Joseph and Mary ends up placing Jesus right where he belongs on Christmas Day. And because of this unlucky displacement of the Holy Family, good fortune comes to the shepherds who are working that unlucky night shift. And even Jesus, having this terrible luck of being murdered instead of enthroned as king, happens exactly according to plan. Didn't Isaiah say that it would happen just this way? Didn't Isaiah promise that by his stripes we would be healed? So I wonder tonight, as you are stuck here, of all places, on Christmas Eve, whether maybe your bad luck is turning. I wonder what hasn't turned out the way you planned that puts you here tonight. And I wonder, are you willing to consider that maybe this isn't just your story alone? Maybe God is in fact at work, and he's telling a bigger story, and that he isn't finished with you yet. Everything happens for a reason. Were you late tonight? Is somebody sick? Is there a reason you can't be somewhere else? Did that job change throw you for a loop? Are you having to retake a class next semester? Is a relationship not going as you planned? Everything happens for a reason. You aren't here by accident tonight. God knows and God cares. Just as the shepherds were invited to come and see Jesus and to discover that he was, in fact, everything that had been promised, I want to invite you to do the same tonight. There is much more to your story if you are willing to come to Jesus and trust God with the ending of your story. Jesus rose from the grave on Easter. Death could not hold him, nor could the cave, nor could the cloths that kept him enshrouded. And to all who turn to him, Jesus gives the good fortune of resurrection life and an eternal place in his kingdom. That's the good news of Christmas. That's the good news I hope that you will receive as a gift that God gives you tonight. I invite you to pray with me. Thank you, Lord, for this holy night and this glorious season. Thank you for bringing us through the sadness of Advent and delivering us now to this moment of great hope and joy. We pray that you would be right in the middle of our joy as we celebrate you over these next days. May every bad thing that has happened on the way here be turned to glory. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.